But joining us now on the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline, Benji Wham, the play-by-play voice for the Georgetown Bulldogs. They do win tonight 34-7, an excellent victory on paper. Benji, how did it look with your eyes?
Oh, man, it's just a great performance by the Bulldogs tonight. Dogs started out 14-0 in the football game. St. James came roaring back because it was in 14-7. That was the halftime score, but the second half was all Bulldogs tonight. Devontae Gamble, got to talk about this kid tonight. Listen to these stats. He had 8 catches, 196 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. But on defense, he had 4 interceptions tonight. So just a monster performance for Devontae Gamble.
Man, I was selling him short. Before you came on, I was saying 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I can't believe I did him like that. I apologize.
He had 4, just a big time ball game for Devontae.
8 for 196. I mean, it's one thing to have 3 touchdowns, but 196 yards in and of itself is even more impressive. An incredible performance for Kevontae Gamble. So for someone that hasn't seen Kevontae Gamble play football before, what makes him so special?
Oh, Kevontae is just a playmaker. He's just got great speed, very elusive. I mean, just one of those guys. You know, he just needs just a little bit of space, and he's going to take it to the house. He's got great ball skills. He was a young man that really did not have a very good game the last couple of weeks. He was really called out all week long by Coach Adams, really challenged to give more effort. Hey, on senior night, you just couldn't ask for a better performance.
Absolutely. What else stood out to you for the Bulldogs tonight?
I'm sorry, you cut out on me. What were you
Yeah, asking? Sorry. What else stood out besides the excellent play of Kevontae Gamble? It was a dominant performance for Georgetown. So who else played well for your squad?
Well, I think the biggest thing, it was just good to see these young men respond. You know, 2 weeks ago, they had a heartbreaking loss, as you know, to Lake City, in a game that really many people felt like the Dogs should have won, and then just really had a lackluster performance against Myrtle Beach. So I just think, to me, the way the kids responded, the heart that they showed, really looked like the team that we saw for most of the season. Jarvis had another big-time night tonight as he was 16 of 20 for 257 yards through the air. He had an interception, and the Dogs had 332 yards of total offense tonight. And I think, too, you got to give credit to the defense. This is defense has had a very tough season. They have been really challenged by Coach Adams tonight to hold a very athletic Wilson bunch to only 7 points. And only 255 yards tonight, a total offense. That was big as well.
Now, Benji, help us out here with the playoff ramifications. Georgetown wins today. They're 7-3, and they finish region play 3-2. Do you happen to know where they stand?
From what we understand, from what's been explained to us, if the Dogs win and St. James is able to upset Lake City, then the Dogs would win the tiebreaker with St. James, and the Dogs would get a 2 seed, which means they would host second round. Obviously, if Lake City were to win, Lake City won the head-to-head, and that would drop the Dogs to a 3 seed.
Okay, we'll keep our eye on that. As of last that we could see, Benji, it was 16-14, St. James on the road, but Lake City just converted a safety off of a St. James punt. So that one is a low-scoring barn burner. We're working to get a final. A couple of other finals, 35-21, Myrtle Beach closes out North Myrtle Beach. Now, that we knew Myrtle Beach was going to win the region, so that one, not a whole lot of mystery there, but we will work to get the Lake City-St. James final. When you take a look at this year's Georgetown team, Benji, compared to last year was a historic effort for the school, being able to win a playoff game. How do you feel this year's team stacks up compared to last year's?
I feel like this team's better than last year. I think that what this team has that last year's team didn't, it's just, I mean, playmakers. You know, last year, Kevontae Gamble really wasn't much of a factor on offense, played primarily on defense. But when you've got Kevontae Gamble and Zaykid Anderson both going out for passes, and you've got the elusive Jarvis Brown at quarterback, that's a tough combination to beat there. And it's going to be a tough out for anybody. So I definitely think this team has a chance to go far. However, they do have a self-destruct button that they've liked to hit several times throughout the season. So that, I mean, really, that'll be it. Can they show up to play, be mentally into it, and be consistent? If they can, I wouldn't want to play Georgetown.
Absolutely. Excellent bounce-back win today at home for Georgetown, 34-7 over Wilson. Dealt with a fair amount of adversity, not only with the flooding, but the compact schedule they had to deal with afterwards. So a great story for Georgetown tonight. Kevontae Gamble, 3 touchdowns receiving, 4 interceptions. What a game. Benji Wham, thank you so much for helping us paint
Luke,
the picture.
Can I add one thing tonight?
Absolutely. What do you got?
We've been very blessed in Georgetown to have a man named Herb Bailey. He's been on television. He was the play-by-play voice of the Dogs for many seasons on WGTN Radio way back when Georgetown was made up of Howard High School and also Wenyaw High School. Herb has served Georgetown for over 57 years. He's been the PA announcer now for the last several years, and he worked his last regular season game tonight. He's finally decided to retire. So we want to thank Mr. Herb Bailey for his service. The team just honored him in the locker room right before I came on the air with you, and so certainly just appreciate him and honored to follow in his footsteps.
Absolutely. Shout out to Herb Bailey. Man, it's really cool hearing media stories like that, people that are so locked into a particular school and serve their community like that. So appreciate it. And Benji, once again, thanks for helping us out, and hope that you have similar longevity with the Dogs, all right?
All right, man. Sounds good. Thanks for having us on.
All righty. Once again, it is a commanding 34-7 win for Georgetown at home over Wilson. So that puts them in the playoffs. Question of seeding pending the Lake City St. James score, which as of now that we know, it's a 16-14 St. James on the road. We continue now on the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline with Glenn Hardy, voice of the Loras Lions, and they have a commanding shutout victory today at home, 27-0 over Ainer. Now, Glenn, A excellent performance on paper. Ainer has struggled this year at times, though. How impressive did it look to you?
Lewis, good evening. Thanks for having me back. Obviously good to get the first shutout win of the year for the Lions. You know, we're used to getting 3 or 4 a season, but this would be the first one in the 2015 season. The defense, though, did have to turn Ainer away a couple of times as they drove the football down in the red zone, but just if you know anything about Ainer football, they're a 4-down team. They don't really know what the word punt means, so it's kind of a high-risk, high-reward.
Or throw, defense. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So the Lions defense able to turn away a couple of threats to preserve the shutout, but a good performance for the Lions, both sides of the ball. They took care of it, turned it over just once. Didn't hurt them in the end. Had minimal penalties. Memory serves me, I think, about 5 penalties. But Ainer, I tell you, this Ainer offense, I call it the phone booth offense. It's like they're all crammed in a phone booth. They know how to grind out the football and use some clock. I'll promise you that. They had 249 yards rushing tonight, but did come up empty in terms of points.
Absolutely. Now tell me about the Loras offense. They do score 27 points tonight. What'd you see on that end?
I saw the senior wideout, Des Dozier, have a good night. He had 80 receiving yards on 7 catches, 2 touchdown receptions, 1 11 yards and 1 35 yards. And then later got his 3rd touchdown on a punt return, which we've seen him do quite often in recent years. But the first kick return he's had for a score this season, a nice 81-yarder. To give him 3 touchdowns on the night. He was our player of the game for his performance. But I also want to give a nod to a junior running back, Hakeem Jackson. 10 carries in the game, but able to pile up 116 yards and a score for the junior. So a good night for Hakeem as well.
Now, Glenn, taking a look at Loras, they certainly are one of those teams that pop out as most likely better than their record indicates. But they're 4-5, 2-2 right now. Next week, they have a road game at Marion. Can you take a look at the playoff ramifications, if you can, project that far for next week? How are the Lions sitting right now?
Ooh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
That's why I'm asking these questions, man. It's like the tax code when you look at the SCHSL website. We'll bring on Ian Guerin with the Sun News later on and put him through all the paces.
Ian was covering our game tonight, and actually he and I talked about a few of the scenarios prior to this game. I think, you know, obviously the loss for Ainer kind of shuts them out of the picture, I do believe. But At last report, we were keeping our eye on the Mullins-Marion game tonight. At last report, I think with a couple of minutes left, Marion had gone up 26-22 there. Not knowing exactly what the outcome is there and us having to go to Marion, looks like it's going to be perhaps a three-way battle to see who's going to finish runner-up. I haven't really studied it yet, but I think most folks are figuring that the three teams may still have a shot at finishing just behind Dillon in the region. We'll see. We'll know a little more after that Marion final is known tonight.
Absolutely, and it seems like Loras had some bad luck earlier in the season. I mean, aside from the Dillon game, haven't most of those losses been one-score losses?
Well, the Mullins loss, I think, was six. At one point, we had lost three games by a total of 12 points, and we had a three-point loss, had a one-point loss. I mean, and mm-hmm. PATs were the difference early in the season. The Mullen loss, really, if I could get back to that, is really what kind of threw a chink in it for the Lions. That was kind of unexpected. We were favored and thought that perhaps the Lions had a good shot at winning over there, but Mullen had what it took to beat us on that particular night. That was his six-point win. Then, of course, last week at Dillon, and we know what happened there. So, you know, a lot of folks have experienced the same thing when they go to Dillon.
I say the same thing every time. I have not been able to see Dillon play, and I think it might be best that I don't, because I imagine all those kids being 8 feet tall and running like 3 second 40s. When I see the scores, they are never close. Absolutely,
no, you're
never
right.
Close.
And Lewis, here's what Jackie Hayes has in Dillon, because we've looked at the roster and we've seen him up close now. 24 seniors on that team. That tells you something, but 24 juniors as well. So you've got 48 guys there, juniors or seniors, and that kind of tells you where Dillon football is. And I'll say this too, that Dillon gets a lot of, nobody likes to go to Dillon because of, you know, what happens when you get there, but I'll tell you this, they are a thing of beauty to watch on the football field. They are. They're really kind of simple in what they do, but it's just, they're unstoppable at what they do.
Also, last question here for you, Glenn. For the Coastal Carolina fans tuning in right now, what's your view of Avery McCall as a quarterback?
We said on the broadcast last week that finally we were going to have a chance to pull for Avery McCall next year. Can't do it this year. Lewis, I think that's an outstanding fit. I really do for that program, and I think he'll do great.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the quarterback run is such an inherent part of the Dave Patenaude offense at Coastal Carolina. So I haven't been able to watch him, but everything I've heard is fantastic. And, of course, you know, taking a look at the way the recruiting websites value him, he certainly looks like one of the bigger gets in Coastal Carolina history. So
This kid, Lewis, this kid has accounted for, like, I think 98 touchdowns over there in his career. Okay.
Yeah.
That tells you something.
Yeah, and he's going to win his fourth straight state championship. So that's
no doubt.
You can't do anything better than that. That's one of those records that won't be broken. It can be conceivably tied, but never broken, if he does pull that out. But Glenn, I really do appreciate it. We'll look to stay in touch. Hopefully, be talking about a playoff run next week.
Outstanding, Lewis. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
All right, you as well.